We want to continue our studies now in Mastering the English Bible, the prophetic books. And we are in the book of Jeremiah, looking at some of the highlight of this great prophecy. And now we come to Jeremiah 30 and 31, the new covenant, the prophecy of the new covenant. And we want to read Jeremiah 30, 1 through 11. And then verses 18 through 21, and chapter 31, verses 31 through 40. The covenant is actually in chapters 30 through 33. We're just looking at some highlights. Jeremiah 30, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord." Israel and Judah, they'll be back together. "And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned unto paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And so Jeremiah is looking way down past his own time. He's looking past our time. The time of Jacob's trouble is the day of the Lord. And it's a day when God will judge the nations, but it's a day when God will convert Israel. But before Israel's converted, she has more trouble to endure, to bring her to repentance in that day. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. So Jacob's trouble is not finished. "It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." And so looking beyond the day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble, "But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid." Well, that's certainly the future. "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." And now, verses 18 through 21, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap. The palace shall remain after the manner thereof." So there will be palaces. The city will be rebuilt. "And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime. And their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. Yes, we are. And so the intermingling of these prophecies, the judgment that was right at hand, and then looking way beyond thousands of years ahead to the future. That's the way the prophecies are written. And we know, and by the way, there were no chapter divisions and first verse divisions when Jeremiah wrote this. Those are a big help, but they've been added later. The new covenant. Now, chapter 31, verse 31 through 40. Just to give us a little taste of this great prophecy. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Not the covenant, not the law of Moses, but after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, saith the Lord. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now that's never happened. That's future. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for the light by day, the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they've done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill Gerib, and shall compass about to Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and of all the fields under the brook of Kidron, under the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. And so, this leaves no doubt that God is not finished with Israel. It's absolutely impossible. God said it's impossible. It would only be possible if the earth would cease to exist and the sun would darken. And none of that, of course, has happened. But what about Israel's sin? Well, God mentions that in verse 37. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, and that's impossible. Modern science cannot measure the heaven. I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done. God knows what they've done, and they've been under judgment for over 2,000 years. But that has not annulled the new covenant. The new covenant. And it's in many passages. But this is the main passage, Jeremiah 30 through 33, the new covenant. And we see that name in Jeremiah 31, 31, the new covenant. In a nutshell, it is God's promise to convert Israel, restore her to her land, and bless her forever. That's what the new covenant is. They broke the law of Moses, the old covenant, but that's gone. This passage is the heart and soul of Jeremiah. Right here, the new covenant. Looking beyond the judgments that were at hand. Beyond the return. Under Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. Looking way beyond the time of Rome and the time of Jesus. Way beyond that, even beyond our time, maybe not far, but beyond our time, the new covenant. And the special emphasis is spiritual conversion. Spiritual conversion, as we saw in Jeremiah 31 and verse 33 and 34. Spiritual conversion. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, say, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Forgiveness of their iniquity. Remember their sin no more. But not only that, the writing of God's law in their hearts. Spiritual conversion. And that is mentioned in Jeremiah 32, 37 through 39. Chapter 33, 7 and 8. Deuteronomy also prophesies the new covenant. Chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Moses prophesied it before they even went into land. Ezekiel 11, 17 through 21, 36, 24 through 29, Zechariah 12, 10 through 13, 9, great passage on the new covenant. And all those passages give more details about this great new covenant, which will be filled somewhere down past our days. The time of the fulfillment is plainly given in chapter 30, verse 24. In the latter days, yes, the latter days, we've looked at the latter days before, the last days, the last time, the last times, the latter time, the latter times, most of those are synonyms, appears 40 times in Scripture, and it's the fulfillment of Messianic prophecies, in a nutshell, starting with the first coming. The last days began with the coming, first coming of Christ. We've been in the last days. John said, it is even now the last time in 1 John chapter 2. And those last days encompass the first coming and the second coming and the church age, which was not seen by the prophets. But the last times, we're in the last times. And then it extends out the day of the Lord, the rapture, the coming of Christ, the establishment of the millennial kingdom. It's all the last days. And we're in the middle of it. We're right down, actually toward the end of it already. New covenant. It's not fulfilled in the modern state of Israel. Must understand that. Because there's huge confusion about that. And people like Stephen Anderson, who's independent Baptist, claiming that that Israel today in Israel is not Israel. Well, of course that's Israel. It's the same Israel that was scattered of the nations that has gone back, the remnant of them. Of course that's Israel, but it's Israel in apostasy and rebellion, just as the prophecies said. And the prophecies said that Israel would come back in that terrible spiritual condition. The prophecy in Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones, first come back spiritually dead. And Daniel chapter 9. A prophecy we intend to look at, the 70-week prophecy, shows that Israel is going to come back in a spiritually dead condition to receive the Antichrist. They have to be spiritually dead to receive the Antichrist. And so they're going to come back still in that apostate condition of having rejected their own Messiah, and they're going to prepare for the unknowingly compare for the Antichrist, and to build that third temple which the Antichrist will occupy and desecrate. Yes, this is not the modern state of Israel. And it's clear that this is not the modern state of Israel. And if you go to Israel and you have tours, they will tell you, oh, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. See how the land is blossoming like a desert? It is not the fulfillment of the prophecies. Jeremiah 31, just a quick look at these three chapters. these four chapters. It's very clear that the Israel today is not what this is talking about. Israel would be called the habitation of justice in the mountain of holiness, Jeremiah 31:23. That is not Israel today, not holy, not good justice there. God will write his laws in the hearts of the people and they will know the Lord, Jeremiah 31:33 and 34. That's not Israel over there today or anywhere today. They will dwell safely, Jeremiah 32:37 and 33:16. That's certainly not Israel today. They do not dwell in safety. They will fear God, Jeremiah 32:39. They don't fear God today. The Messiah, the branch of righteousness, will execute judgment and righteousness in the land, Jeremiah 33:15. He's not there today. Jerusalem will be called the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 33:16. Certainly not what she's called today. David's son will sit on the throne, Jeremiah 33:17. He's not anywhere over there. The Levites will present offerings, Jeremiah 33:18. The Levites are not performing any duties today, except the Temple Institute is training priests for the third temple. But there's no Levites in operation over there making offerings. If they even try to go up to the Temple Mount and make some sacrifices at the Passover, there would be World War III. No, none of this is happening today. We're looking at the future, the new covenant. The prophecy begins with the command to write the words of God in a book, Jeremiah 30, verse 2, as we saw. Write these words in a book, Jeremiah. Yes, thank you. We have that book right here. Exactly what he wrote. How do I know that? Because God promised to preserve it. Man can't preserve it. Jeremiah couldn't even preserve it. Jehoiakim cut it up, threw it in the fire. God said, I'll give you some more. I'll give you more words in addition to those. Jehoiakim doesn't like those. I'll give you more like that. And he expanded the book. Thank you, Jehoiakim. No, God has preserved his word. Some fundamental lessons from the new covenant, other lessons. New covenant's a different covenant with a different character than the law of Moses. One of the fundamental things that we have to learn to understand the Bible, to understand our Christian life, is the difference between the law of Moses and the covenant, our covenant, the new covenant. We are under part of the new covenant, the spiritual part. We participate in the blood of Christ in that way. New covenant. It's a different covenant. We are not under the law of Moses. We're lawless? No, we're absolutely not lawless. We're under a higher law. But it's got to be understood. The law of Moses was a temporary thing to be a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. And Galatians, let's look at Galatians 3:6-26. We could never learn this well enough. We have to learn these things by repetition. We get a little glimmer at first, and then we get, you know, a little better idea. We're never completely, 100%, fully, and with finality, understand any of these things. It's a matter of growing. We should have a passion for learning. Galatians 3:6-26, fundamental passage about the law of Moses and the Christian life. Galatians 3, this is Romans 3 and Galatians 3 and 2 Corinthians 3 are the three major passages on this great subject. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Thank you, Lord, for that great blessing. we're not children of... Well, there might be some people in this room that are children, at least partially, of Jacob. I'm not, and most of us aren't. But we're children by faith, spiritually, of Abraham. That's where we get our blessings, through Christ. So then, they which be of faith, faith in Christ, are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's all the law can do for a sinner. Cursing. Because we can't do what it demands. And if you don't do what it demands, it curses you. Therefore, we're cursed too, everybody. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There's the standard of the law. Continue. That not just obeying once in a while. Continual obedience. All things. And not just wanting to do it, but doing it. To do them. Who meets that standard? Well, Christ. Who else? Nobody. It curses us, therefore. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. The just shall live by faith. Our justification, our righteousness comes by faith. Just, righteous, justification, wonderful words. The law's not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. There again is the standard of the law of Moses. If you want to live, do, obey. Yeah, but you can't. That's the whole issue. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. There is vicarious substitutionary atonement. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so, delivered from the curse of the law by the atonement of Christ, to receive the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit, all through faith, not of works. Verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, it's all in Christ. Everything, all of our blessing is in Christ. All of our blessing is by faith in Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, the covenant given to Abraham, about Abraham's seed, capital S, Christ, the law, the law of Moses, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it would make the promise of none effect. That makes no sense. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, this is close reasoning. And this is not simple. Real super simple language. It's not a comic book here. And it's not some dynamic equivalency that dumbs down. You can't dumb this down. If you dumb it down, you have mistranslated it, and it's wrong. There's a level of understanding and reasoning that God's people need to have to understand the Word of God, which is what we must educate our children up to that level. I think one of the first things I said when I first came to this church three sessions ago was, this is a book. We've got to be students. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added. And to follow this reasoning, should be able to do it. We need to get to the place where we can do it. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, verse 19, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels at the hands of a mediator. Hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. They're all under sin. There you go. That's the universal offer of salvation. The same all that are under sin is the all that are invited for salvation. We see the same thing in Isaiah 53. All. Isaiah 53:6. There it is. Refutes Calvinism. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, but that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Any of them, any within that category, are invited to believe and can be saved. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Talking about Israel. Shut up under the law. For wherefore, here's the fundamental verse about the law of Moses. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Yes, I come to Christ by faith, I am born again. Then the work of the law for me as a law is finished. Look at verse 25. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. What's the schoolmaster? Law of Moses. So I'm not under the law of Moses. It doesn't mean I'm lawless. I have a different law, the law of Christ. So that's very high. That means that Christ is my law, to be conformed to his image. What a law. What a law. That's our law. That's our future. For you're all. But it's very clear. After that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. That law of Moses is not my law. I learn from it. It's for me in the sense that I learn from it, but it's not my law, because all it can do is condemn me, and my condemnation fell totally on Christ. So that's finished. The law's work is finished when you come to Christ. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all saved the same way. For if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Abraham's seed. I never met the man, but I look forward to it. Abraham's seed by faith in Christ. His seed, capital S. It's beautiful. And there's a level at which this is not terribly complicated. But there's an endless depth to this, all of this. Which I'm glad of. If we could just learn, if it was just real simple, you know, and you could just learn this and then there's not any more to learn, that would be, well, what else would you do? That'd be very boring. But this book is not like that. There's simplicity here. There's enough simplicity here for even children to be saved, but there's endless, infinite depth. And God's people need to have a passion. And if you don't ask Him for a passion, learn how to study the Bible. Learn how to study the Bible, and that will develop in you a passion. If you don't know how, and the better you know how, the more passion you will have. I speak from experience in this matter. If you want to go to, you know, if you need something fixed in your car, you go to somebody that knows how to work on that particular thing. And in this issue, I can speak from experience. God wants us to have a passion for His Word. And everything in the Christian life, in the home and the church, flows out of a deep relationship with the Bible. The New Covenant pertains to the house of Israel. We see that very clearly. We saw that in Jeremiah 31:33. it is for the house of Israel. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. That's very clear. We are not the house of Israel. And the church, you know, all the church, whatever you could call a church, is not the house of Israel. This is for the house of Israel. God knows how to speak and how to make himself clear. It pertains to the house of Israel. Now, the writer of Hebrews mentions the new covenant, but he does not say that we fulfill it. Look at Hebrews 10, 15 through 18. Nowhere does the New Testament say that that new covenant with Israel has been transferred to the church, our New Testament Christians, or anything like that. Nowhere. There's a spiritual aspect of the new covenant we do partake of, and we celebrate that in the Lord's Supper. The new covenant. The blood of the new covenant. The cup. The new covenant. But it's only the spiritual side. We don't inherit any land. We go visit the land, but it's not ours. It's Israel's. And ours is a heavenly hope. It's very different. That whole side, the kingdom side, and all of that, that's for Israel. Although the church age saints will be there in their glorified bodies, but it's not directly for us. It's very important to distinguish this. And twice in Hebrews, the new covenant is mentioned. Hebrews 10, 15 through 18. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, as we've seen. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. And so you see here, he's only citing the spiritual side, the born again, the forgiveness of sin. That's the spiritual side of that new covenant. But nothing ever here about all the physical parts, the land, the kingdom. We'll be there, but that's not for us. Now, Hebrews 8, 8 through 11 also quotes the new covenant or refers to it. But note, he does not say that it's ours, that it's been transferred to the church. Hebrews 8, 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. It's right out of Jeremiah. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And the writer of Hebrews is teaching, professing Christians among the Jews primarily, about the law of Moses and the new covenant. But he never says that it has passed to the church. But spiritually, we absolutely do partake of those spiritual blessings of the new covenant. That's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is very important. Very important. It's a very special thing in our church. And we have it at a separate time and no visitors are there. It's very powerful and important. It's for remembrance, and it is to prepare it to remind us of the coming of Christ. It has many, many values. And we drink the cup of the new covenant. And so it's important to put these things together, to understand these things, how they fit together. What is our part in it? What is Israel's part? What is the full new covenant has to do with Israel? Back in Jeremiah, the new covenant is guaranteed by God's most solemn promise. If the sun stops shining, it's impossible to reconcile the teaching of these verses with the doctrine of replacement theology, that the church is Israel. It is impossible. It's refuted. These replacement theology is absolutely refuted by the clear scripture. Israel will be a nation before God forever. That's another thing we see. Jeremiah 31, 36. Forever, it's an eternal covenant. There will never be a time when there's no Israel. There will never be a time when there's no church. We see both of them, those bodies, those institutions, together in the New Jerusalem. Their names written. The names of the 12 apostles and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Eternally. But two different purposes. Closely associated together, redeemed Israel and the true church, but not the same, never the same. We see that Jerusalem will be the capital of Christ's kingdom. Jeremiah 31, 38 through 40. Jerusalem. We have no promise about Jerusalem being anything special. We have a Jerusalem in heaven, a heavenly Jerusalem. We will be in the new Jerusalem, but as far as that Jerusalem over there, that's Israel's. And it is Israel's. It's her property. And anybody that's ever messed with it has found that out. Jerusalem will be the capital of Christ's kingdom. And four things are mentioned here in Jeremiah 31, 38 through 40. It will be built to the Lord. It will be devoted to the Lord. It will be all about Him. It will serve His pleasure, keep His laws. That's certainly not Jerusalem today. Secondly, it will be built physically. Exact locations are mentioned. This is not anything spiritual, allegorical. These are exact places that exist over there today. It will be built physically. And then the Brook Kidron, you can walk through. The Brook Kidron does not flow out into the valley now. It flows over to the Pool of Siloam. It was rerouted in the days of Hezekiah. And they're excavating the Pool of Siloam now and digging it fast. I look forward to going back, the Lord willing, and seeing the whole thing uncovered. But it's there. The Brook Kidron's there. You can walk through it in that dark tunnel that Hezekiah made. It's all there. Valley of Hinnom's there. You can walk through the Valley of Hinnom. It's a garden today. It's a nice park. It's a nice park. It's where they burned children and in old days. But it's going to be something in Christ's kingdom. It's there. These are physical things. Thirdly, we see in this passage it will be holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Yes, that's not today. And then fourth, it will not be plucked up nor thrown down anymore forever. So once Christ comes and establishes a capital there, that's it. It will be safe. There will be one final rebellion, we know, at the end of the millennium, but that will be taken care of by fire out of heaven. And that will be that. That'll be the last rebellion. So, the new covenant. We stop there for this segment.